Like, I think actually it's not getting better, but I think it's getting worse with the reports that we get on a daily basis, the cases that are coming in. Like, it differs with actually the communities that we're working in, but I don't think like it's getting better. But I feel like with the reports, the numbers that are like are coming in, or maybe is it because we're doing more awareness campaigns that people now are coming out to report their cases, but it's getting worse day by day.
Survival Mode 101 is in samenwerking met GRIP, die Greater Rape Intervention Program in die Laagveld. Die gesprek is met Johan Strydom en Terren Lokotsch, die hoofuitvoerende bestuurder van GRIP.
Welkom by Survival Mode 101. Ons is terug met nog 'n episode en vandag praat ons bietjie oor al die inligting wat Terren hulle kry daar by GRIP. Hoe evalueer hulle dit? Wat doen hulle daarmee? En vandag is Lucia Ngomane hierso om bietjie meer met ons daaroor te gesels en te verduidelik wat hulle alles met daai data doen. So Terren and Lucia, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi everybody.
Well, welcome to you and welcome back to Terren.
Yes.
So Terren, let's get right into it. When we talk about the data, what data are we referring to and where do you get the data from?
Okay, so the data that we're referring to is obviously the data that we report on to our funders about what we're doing at GRIP. So, you know, the number of GBV cases that we're seeing, the types of cases we're seeing, the ages of the people we're seeing, the areas where we are experiencing GBV. So it's all of the information about our specific programs, and we have an M&E department that captures all that data for us at GRIP.
So what... You have your M&E officer here today, and yes. Lucia, that's you, of course, so welcome.
Thank you.
I hope you aren't nervous.
No, I'm not.
So, Lucia, before we get into what an M&E officer is and what your duties are, why don't you tell me a bit more about yourself? Who are you, and how did you start working at GRIP? And when did you start working at GRIP, of course?
Okay, I'm Lucia Ngomane. I'm an M&E officer for GRIP. I started working at GRIP in August 2022. So how I joined GRIP is one of my former colleagues shared a post for GRIP that she saw on Facebook of them. They were advertising for a data capture. Then I applied. I was invited for an interview. I went to the interview. I was one of the successful candidates. Then I was hired to be a data capture. After being a data capture, then they saw my potential, and then they gave me an M&E officer position for the Human Rights and Advocacy Program.
Okay, so you work with Temba.
Yes, I work with Temba on the HRA program.
So our listeners know Temba by now.
Yeah,
he was our first. He was our first. You were my first guest, and now you became a regular. Now it's the Terren and Joe show. So why don't we talk about the M&E officer? You are an M&E officer. What does that stand for, and what is it?
So an M&E is a monitoring evaluation department, and as an officer, we do the capturing and we monitor the program also in different sites of the project. So we compile a weekly report based on the report that on whatever that we captured, and also do the monthly report then we share with the management team.
And you are situated where? I think you said at Rob Ferrara?
No, I'm situated at the GRIP head office, but I'm working both for Rob Ferrara Hospital as the data capture and officer for the GPV response site for GRIP offices at the TCC and also for Temba Hospital.
Okay, and then we are talking about the data, but what sounds like I'm saying that. But what data are we referring to? So just so the listener can also know what we are actually talking about.
So I will start with the Human Rights and Advocacy Program. So we have reactors at the field that are collecting human rights violations from our beneficiaries. So whenever they will document them on a source document that we use for our for the HRA program as our data tools, then they submit to the head office to Temba, the project officer. Then he reviews the the data. Then after reviewing the data, that's when I get to capture the data. So I capture it on a different program for a specific project, as like the HRA has a different set of program that I use to capture for the human rights and advocacy. And also when we talk about the data that is coming from Rob Ferreira and Temba Hospital, we're talking about the post-violence care services that we render as GRIP at the Tutuzela Care Center. So we have a different set of source document that we use to capture data as well for our GPV survivors. So whenever they come in, there will be intake forms that they will complete. Then there will be consent forms for referrals. So they submit also that on a weekly basis to the head office. So we capture that. So, and also from capturing that, that's when we capture it on a separate program, which we use OBIT to capture the two hospitals. Then from OBIT, that's where we're able to generate a spreadsheet. So the spreadsheet is the one that guides us in terms of, are we reaching the targets? Is there somewhere where we're lacking? Do we need to make adjustment? Or are we doing the right one? Or are we collecting the correct information that we need from the survivors? Thank you.
So I also wanted to ask, Taryn, why do you need an M&E officer?
Yeah, so I think it's really important. So firstly, I just want to say when Lucia speaks of targets, we're certainly not looking for like a target number of rape cases. Definitely not, no. But we do have a target number of people that we are required to help. So we get funding from different funders, and they do expect us to reach a certain number of people with certain services. And why the data is so helpful for me is, as CEO, it really helps me and the other managers to make informed decisions with what we're doing at GRIP. So, you know, which age group is the most vulnerable age group, and which age group should we focus our awarenesses on? Is there a particular area where we're seeing a rise in GBV and they require GRIP services? There may be specific police stations that need to be operating 24 hours, and so I need to hire more staff. So it's really important for me that Lucia and the team capture data accurately so that I make better decisions for GRIP going forward. How do we expand and where do we go to make sure that our services are the most, you know, effective they can be?
And also to just add on that, it is very important for an organization to have an M&E department so that it determines whether the project or program is being implemented as designed and is having the intended results. Mm. And a good monitoring team offers transparency, accountability, and quality reporting and data quality management.
Yeah, definitely.
How many cases are you capturing weekly, roughly?
So for each police station on a weekly basis, we capture plus minus 20 cases for each police station that we're working in. And in Robs and Temba, we capture plus minus 17 cases a week.
And now I don't know how to phrase this question, but which age group is the most vulnerable? Or do you see the most attacks in?
So we call them like a key population.
Yes.
Mm. For the HRA program, our key population is an AYP, which is adolescent young people from the age of 10 to 24. That is what we're focusing on. So on the two TCC program, we don't have specific ages from zero, plus, minus, I don't know which age, but we allow any clients that come in regardless of the age in the two TCCs.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, and I think we've said it before in one of our podcasts, but rape certainly doesn't discriminate. So I think in the TCC, since I've been at GRIP, our youngest client has been, 6 months old?
Yes,
and
our
oldest client has been literally 100 years old. So, it's crazy the different age groups that we see. But certainly I would say the most vulnerable population, or the key population, if I can say that then, that we see the most rapes probably between the ages of 15 and 19 or 15 to 24. That's where we see a lot of cases. And obviously then also we need to focus our efforts on children that are under the age of 15, because obviously there's a lot going on there as well with Children's Act cases. But yeah, it can be anyone at any time, at any age.
I wanted to ask you, while we were talking about the cases, and have you seen a recent spike in cases, or has it been getting better? Has it been getting worse? What do the numbers say?
Like, I think actually it's not getting better, but I think it's getting worse with the reports that we get on a daily basis, the cases that are coming in. Like, it differs with actually the communities that we're working in, but I don't think like it's getting better. But I feel like with the reports, the numbers that are coming in, or maybe is it because we're doing more awareness campaigns that people now are coming out to report their cases, but it's getting worse day by day.
And why do you think it's getting worse?
Actually, I think like the reason it's getting worse is because some of the perpetrators, we're living with them in our families. So sometimes it's very difficult for the survivors to come out immediately whenever a situation happens. But now when like they meet with our first responders in the awareness campaign, that's when they come out to report as well. Because now most of the community members are aware of like if you're being violated, you need to report such cases. And also because some of the family members, they then decide like, no, we rather talk as a family, but which is not even good. So I think now the most of the communities are aware of the whenever they are being their rights are being violated. And like, because some of the perpetrators are not being arrested, like they will be arrested a day and get a bail and come back to violate another one in the community.
So every morning when you get up, you work with, every day you work with a bad case, with a sad case, you know, there's every day there's someone new who's been attacked or violated. What keeps you motivated to continue doing what you do?
What keeps me motivated is like, I know GRIP has done a lot and have helped a lot of survivors to overcome their situation. So that's one of the things that keeps me motivated, and like knowing very well that I'm part of the team that is trying to make a very huge change in the community. And also that GRIP is one of the organizations that actually is winning with helping our survivors. So me being part of GRIP is one of the motivation that I know that I'm making a huge difference in the community, not only by just capturing the data, because even if the data is not being captured, no one will know like actually what's happening, what the numbers are looking like. So it keeps me motivated being part of GRIP, so because I know GRIP is the organization that actually is making a very huge impact in the community.
And what has been your worst day at GRIP?
So my worst day at GRIP was the first day I joined GRIP. It was their weekly by meeting. I was the new one. Like, I had to meet everyone in once. So, like, being me, it takes time, like, to understand people. I still need to learn them. And, you know, as people are different, we have different personalities, their approach, my approach. So that was one of my worst days. But
that's not the bad worst day to have.
I hope you're feeling better now, Lisha.
No, now I'm feeling better. I'm feeling part of the family. Actually, good. I'm not feeling part, but I'm part of the family now.
And how long have you been working at GRIP?
So I started working at GRIP on August 2022.
Okay. Yeah. So you're not that new anymore.
No, I'm no longer new. I'm in
nearly
I'm
your GRIP
old
birthday.
Yes.
And what has been your best day?
So
except for today.
Today is one of my best day again. One of my best days is when I joined GRIP on August. Then on October, I became an employee of the month. So that was one of the best days in my life.
I wanted to actually congratulate you before we ended on being employee of the month.
Thank you.
So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And then I always want to end these podcasts in saying, if you've worked with survivors, you've dealt with the data, you have a very big picture of what's going on in the communities. If there's someone listening today and they only take one thing from this podcast, if they only learn one thing from today's episode, what do you think it should be?
I think they should learn that whatever that you do, it counts. Like, whenever you did something, you need to have records of what you did. Like, actually, it can be a paper trail, but you need to have maybe, if you did help people or you were engaged in anything that you do, you need to have, like, maybe to set your goal. Actually, like, whenever I want to achieve this goal, this is how many people I need to reach. And after reaching those people, you need to come back and evaluate that, did you do the right thing? Did you meet your target? Because you need to have your set target. Then after the set target, you need to go back and evaluate. After evaluating, maybe if you had to report to someone, that's when you need to report that, from what I was given, this is what I did, this is how I evaluated, these are the outcomes. So obviously it's going to be a good outcome. You have your good strategy and plan.
Good. Ladies, thank you for joining me as always. it's always nice to learn something new and to see the other side.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people see exactly what you're saying. They see what we're doing out there in the community with all our awarenesses and stuff, but they don't realize how much work is going on behind the scenes in the office, you know, in the finance department and in the M&E department, and everybody that's stuck in head office trying to provide support for all our field workers. It's a complicated operation. It's not just being in hospitals and care rooms. There's a lot of data and a lot of decisions that have to be made.
And who are you bringing next week?
I haven't, I need to bribe one of my staff, no, I'm joking. I think next week it'll be interesting just following this podcast to chat maybe a little bit more about the patterns that we are seeing, the stats that we're seeing at the moment, where we're seeing increases, where we're seeing decreases, the types of cases that we're seeing. So I'm not sure who I'm going to bring next week, but I think it's going to be a very interesting a very interesting podcast, because we're actually going to be speaking about Nelspruit specifically and what is happening in our community in terms of GBV.
Okay. So, volgende week is ons terug soos altyd en ons gesels bietjie meer oor ons tuisland, as ek het so kan doen, oor die Bombela. ek hoop regtig jy het iets geleer vandag en dat soos ek altyd sê, as dit op jou hart lê om betrokke te raak, motiveer ek jou regtig om so te doen. As dit op jou hart lê om in enige manier iets te skenk, iets te vat, iets te gee, gaan ek jou definitief altyd motiveer om dit ook te doen. Dankie dat jy weer saam met ons gekuier het en jy weet definitief wie om te bel as jy ooit in sulke situasie bevind. Thanks ladies!
Dankie allemaal!